welcome to everyone who's joined us this morning. Anyone that's here for the first time, that's really good to see you. Of course, those of you who are watching on YouTube, you're still very much part of our church family, and we welcome you as well. Special welcome to Kevin Whitby, who's with us this morning. He's not come from Whitby, but he's come from Scunthorpe, so that's quite a way away, isn't it? So thank you for coming, and we look forward to what you've got to say to us this morning. Just a few notices for the week. It being half term, there's no art playgroup, and there is no prayer meeting on Wednesday this week as well. But on Thursday, the lunch club will be going ahead as normal. Next Sunday is Cafe Church. That's a really good time to bring friends, family that maybe don't normally come to church. Get your breakfast, have a chat. There will be a short message at the end, but it's a lovely time to spend together, getting to know each other really, and just having a chat and a catch up. So that's next Sunday. Saturday the 1st of March, we're very much looking forward to our curry and quiz night. We've got a lot of people coming, which is absolutely brilliant. We really do need final numbers by really at the end of today, because next week it's Cafe Church. So, if you can let Grace and Vivek know, well, write it on the sheet if there's any special dietary requirements. And that includes if you don't particularly like spicy food, just put your name on there, and we'll make sure that there's something else for you to eat. No charge for the actual food this time, but if you could give donations to the charity that we're raising funds for, which is Home for Good. It promises to be a really good night. So if you can just bear that in mind, please. And that's 2 weeks, isn't it? Just started 2 weeks ago, yeah. We have a day, I've mentioned this a couple of times now, for the annual general meeting. That's on Sunday, the 13th of April. We can't wait, can we? Please get your reports in as soon as, if you can. That'd be good. This coming Thursday, it's half term week, as I've just said, and they're having a Loving Life event over in the library across the road. It's free. I think it's from about 11 till 2. It's a community event. There's loads of agencies represented. I think Aston Oughton Early Years are going to be there. The police, I'm not sure, I don't think they're expecting trouble, but you know, they're going to be there. I think maybe there'll be parish councillors, George, do they represent? Anyway, it's a big event, and according to Jan, bless Jan, she's not here this morning, she's not too well, but she would have been involved, she may be, we don't know yet, but she said it's a really good event, and all the tables that have been put out are full, so it looks like it's going to be really good. So probably a good event to take children to as well, with it being half term. Refreshments, and it's free, you don't have to pay to get in. So that's always good, isn't it? So that's on Thursday over at the library. We have a preliminary start date for Joe, which we're absolutely over the moon about. Monday the 14th of April is the day that we're hoping she's going to start, she's going to join us here. There's still a few issues about the accommodation and selling homes and all that kind of stuff. So please pray that it goes smoothly and that she's able to get everything in place by that date. And we have some wonderful news from Suzanne. She went through quite an intense interview with YBA. Was YBA one too? Yeah. Last Thursday, and she's been commended for training for ministry. So, well done, you. It's a long journey. There's lots of stuff got to happen before she actually starts the training, but we will keep you posted. So, well done, you. David, quick word from you, please.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. The news is, Sue's been discharged from hospital to the GP. It's been a long journey, and in September, basically we were told there was no hope. We went to see the specialist about a fortnight ago, and the specialist said, well, gynaecology is transferring you to me. This is a cancer specialist. So you won't be seeing her again And we actually saw her the day after, and she told us that she was discharging her. The mass that was on her ovaries, which was the size of a saucer, is now the size of a 50p pence. We don't know about the size of the mass that had reduced from her lung, which was 5.5 centimetres and reduced to 1 centimetre, because she actually had more chemo since then. So we go back in about 6 weeks' time. But, you know, we worship the God of the impossible. And that's been on my heart for the last few days. The God of the impossible. The impossible has made things possible. At the moment, any twinge she gets, and straight away you can see, she goes into herself. Another reason why she's not here today, I was hoping to bring her today. So pray that she'll come next week, because it's quite informal next week. But she's not been to church now since September, since she had the diagnosis. But our God is an incredible God, and she's got more hair than me now. Yeah, that's good.
That's brilliant news. Thank you for keeping us updated, David.
Thank you, Carol. Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 26. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are indeed faithful. We thank you that you are there with us through difficult times and through the nice times of life. We thank you that we can turn to you with any problem that we have, and that you are there for us, that you are a great God, you are an awesome God, mighty God, creator God, healing God. And we thank you that you care about each and every one of us, that you knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb, and you cared and you loved and you want us to turn to you. So we just thank you for all your great mercies, for all your great blessings, for all that you've given us, all that you've done with us and through us and for us. And we just pray, Lord, that we can bring you now our worship, that we can come into your presence, that we can seek your face, that we can thank you for all that you've given us. And we love you, Lord. We just pray that you will be with us this morning and every other day of our lives. Amen. Oh Lord, your unfailing love is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are indeed everything that we need, that we can feed from you, we can find shelter with you. We thank you, Lord, that we can have a relationship with you because of Jesus dying on the cross, Calvary, for our sins, and that we can just come to you and we can ask for you to forgive us for the things we've said and done that we shouldn't, and the things maybe that we should have said and done that we haven't. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and that you want to be our friend. You want to be our Lord and our Saviour. And as we think later on in the service of you dying in the communion, we do just come before you with thankful hearts. And we do want to know you. We do want to feel your love and your protection. We are so blessed, Lord, and we thank you.
Just for who you are. But Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that there are many of us here this morning that may be hurting, that may be rejoicing, or that may be lost. But Lord Jesus, I ask that, you know, the Holy Spirit will just reach down and touch them that really need that touch from you, Lord. Please, we welcome you this morning. We ask that you will move among us and interrupt us, Lord. That, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, we will see people healed and we will see people's lives turned around, because that's what you're about, Lord. And we lift up our nation to you for the mess that it is in. And, Lord Jesus, we ask that you will heal your land. That, Lord Jesus, you will come and touch people. Touch their hearts, Lord. Melt them, mold them, and make them your own. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, we thank you that we are free to be able to come together this morning to worship you. We thank you for bringing us to this place. We thank you for loving us before we loved you. And Father, we ask that you are with us all this morning, but also we ask that you are with those people that aren't physically with us. Those people at home, and those people in our community. Touch their hearts, Father God, this morning. We ask this for your purpose and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we do want our love for you to grow stronger and stronger every day. And as we soon, with Carol, come round the Lord's table, we think of all that you have done for us so that we can come to you. And we do cast our mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for us, for me. We do think about the extent of what you've done for us, your wounds, all you went through for us, the suffering. And we thank you that you were prepared to go to the cross for each and every one of us because of your love for us. But you didn't stay dead, you rose again. Holy Spirit rose you to life again. You ministered, you spent time with people before ascending back to heaven. And we thank you that we serve a risen Lord Jesus. And we thank you that you conquered death, you conquered sin, but you understand suffering because you suffered far more than we will ever suffer. And you did that for us. And we love you, Lord.
Dear Lord, what a joy it is to come into your presence this morning and to sing your praise, knowing that you hear us, that you delight in us, and that one day we will see you face to face, our gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. What an amazing thing that would be. Amen. Dr. Shadrach Meshach Logridge
Yeah, quite a name. Very impressive, isn't it, Tina? Yes. Was the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego, California, from 1953 to 1993. He was known for his preaching across the United States and around the world. He wrote, among many other things, That's My King. In it, he lists the attributes of Jesus. As you can imagine, it's quite a long list. He actually can be found on YouTube if you'd like to see him. So before we come to the Lord's table, I've chosen a few lines from this song or this poem that he's written, just to remind us exactly who we're remembering this morning, to remember exactly who Jesus is. The Bible says, "My King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of all ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory." My King is a sovereign King. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His love never changes. His mercy is everlasting. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of the world. He's the key to all knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance, and he's the pathway of peace. He's the road of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Saviour. I wonder, do you know him? Do you know him? There are many other ways, of course, to describe the Son of God. Messiah, Deliverer, Saviour, Comforter, Brother, Friend, to name just a few. But we all relate to the Lord Jesus in different ways because we're all made differently. So let's just take a minute to come before the Lord and meet him where we are exactly at this moment in time, whether we need him as a comforter, a deliverer, a brother, a friend, whatever it is we need from Jesus at this minute in time, including maybe confessing things that we're not proud of, that we need to be cleansed of before we actually come to his table. So let's just do that for a few minutes before we take the bread and wine. Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, sitting in glory at the right hand of our Father God. There is no higher place, but you left the highest heavens to come down to earth, a place tainted by sin and death, to sacrifice your life so that we could be freed from our sin and the fear of death, to be eventually reunited with our Heavenly Father. What an amazing Saviour you are. We remember you now with eternal gratitude. During the meal, Jesus took the bread. He blessed it and broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you." In the same way, he took the wine, he blessed it, and said, "Drink, this is my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And with it, God makes his agreement. Sandra and Sue, would you like to come forward, please? The bread is gluten-free, the wine is blackcurrant juice. If you don't feel that you want to take communion this morning, for whatever reason, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Just let the bread and wine pass by you. If you could eat the bread when we get it, please, and that's a sign of our personal response to Jesus. But save the wine until the end, and when we can drink in unity. Blood of Christ shed for us all. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. You washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace. Praise your mighty name forever, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen.
Perhaps you'd like to find the reading, which is on page 981 of the Church Bibles. Philippians 3, and I'm reading from verse 12 to Chapter 4, verse 1. Not that I have already obtained this, or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in and imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies at the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory in their shame, with mind set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Thank
you. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's great to be here with you, and thank you to the church leadership for the invitation to come and share with you today. We are continuing our series of talks based on Paul's letter to the Philippians. And the title for this morning is True Confidence, Part 2. It's based on the Bible reading we've just heard, so thanks, Suzanne, for reading that. And it follows on from the message Suzanne shared last week. Now, our reading starts with Paul saying in verse 12 that he has not yet obtained this. Could we have the next slide, please? Lovely. It says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. So, in case you didn't get to hear last week's message, or perhaps if you're here for the first time, we just need to summarise what this thing is that Paul hasn't yet achieved. Paul, like all of us, is on a journey of faith. His starting point was very different from most of ours. He started out as a very, very religious man in the Jewish faith, a Pharisee, in fact. And, you know, they were right up here at the top of the scale in keeping the religious laws of the day. In fact, when a group of people who would later be called Christians, when they appeared on the scene, he considered them to be heretics or blasphemers. And he was so zealous for the Jewish law that he felt it was his duty to stamp them out. So he persecuted the church with great enthusiasm. But then, when he met the risen Christ on the Damascus Road, all of that changed. He realized that all his learning and religious enthusiasm wasn't the answer. He could no longer rely on that to put him right with God. He must leave it all behind and embark on a new journey of following Jesus, and then, on an ongoing basis, getting to know him better and so becoming more like him. You may notice that I'm using a present tense there. Following, getting, and becoming. Because for Paul, it was very much a work in progress. Now, at this point, you might think, hang on a minute. Paul is saying that he isn't there yet. But, you know, this is the great Apostle Paul. By this stage, he's done mission trips and planted churches. And this letter that he's going to send to Philippi, it would later become part of the Bible. And yet, he's saying he's not there yet. Well, no, he isn't. He's still on the way. And I can think we can draw a lot of encouragement from that. Now, I don't know whether you've been following Jesus for 4 weeks or 40 years, but we all know, don't we, that we are not there yet. Sometimes we make mistakes, maybe accidentally, maybe deliberately, and that can leave us disappointed with ourselves and even discouraged. And apart from those specific mistakes, we all know that our hearts and minds aren't all they need to be. But be encouraged. If Paul isn't there yet, it's hardly surprising that we're not either. Now, something that may help you here is to remember that the term disciple actually means apprentice. Now, an apprentice learns from the master craftsman or craftswoman so that in time they can do the job to the same standard. As a teenager, I never considered an apprenticeship in a trade because I am not very good in working with my hands. As some of my teachers would have readily testified, even now, DIY and me, they just don't mix. However, had I gone down that route, I think that I would have chosen to be an electrician because I'm interested in the physics behind electricity. However, I'm sure there would have been days when the boss would have come along and said something like, "No, Kev, no, you don't wire it up like that. Because if you do, you'll trip the circuit, start a fire, or, you know, whatever else might happen when you wire stuff up wrongly." Like Paul, we are all on a journey. And this brings me to the next point in our text, where Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the emphasis there is mine, of course, but we need to understand what is meant here by forgetting. We can't erase our past from memory. You know, we're not like a computer where you can delete something and then later on, when you realise you need it, you get a message that comes up on screen that reads something like, file not found. The human mind doesn't work that way. And in some cases, of course, there may be practical consequences of past sin which don't just disappear. Paul would have had plenty of things he would have liked to forget, just as we have. Remember, he looked after the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen to death. I'm no legal expert, but I imagine he could be charged with something like accessory to murder. But, and it is a big but, Paul put all of that behind him as he strived to follow Christ. And this is what I think is meant by the word forgetting. We don't let the guilt of those past mistakes hold us back, because Jesus has dealt with all those. But it is important to learn from them, just as in the apprentice electrician we talked about earlier. Now, after a bad day like that, I, as a virtual apprentice, would have had one of two choices. Either I would get very upset, very cross with myself, and become so despondent that I quit my apprenticeship. That would not be a good idea. I need to forget about that bad day in that sense, just as Paul talks about here. But of course, it is important to remember what happened in the sense of learning from it, so that the next time I come to do a similar job, I would think, last time I stuck that wire in there and it was wrong. So this time I need to put it in the right place, just like the boss told me to. Very good instruction manual here, by the way. That is the whole process of learning. Now, we do increasingly talk now about lifelong learning in many areas of life, and it particularly applies so in our journey of faith. In fact, a pastor once told me that being a disciple of Jesus, it's like a trade, and in this trade, you never reach the point of finally qualifying. And it's true. We never do. He also, by the way, added the phrase, but the retirement benefits are out of this world. Maybe that's a topic for another day. But then, from verse 15, Paul moves on to give us more info as to what we should be straining forward towards. We need to remember that these early churches didn't have the Bible as we do. Even the Gospels may not have been widely circulated. So Paul urges the Philippians to follow his example. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. It's not because he is perfect, he's already said he isn't, but because he is following Jesus, unlike some that he mentions in verses 18 and 19. And if I could have that up, please. Thank you. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. Now, that phrase at the end there, minds set on earthly things, does resonate with me, because it tells us of the importance of keeping Jesus right at the top of our priority list. And of course, that particularly applies to our mindset. What is the main focus of our heart's desires, hopes, and dreams? Paul explains it more fully in his letter to the Colossians. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And why should we fix our minds on things above? If we return to Philippians, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why, when we become followers of Jesus, we effectively become citizens of a different country. We have a different outlook. Still residents of earth, of course. We are very much in the world, but not of it. Our allegiance lies first and foremost elsewhere. And it is in our citizenship of heaven that we can find our total confidence. The confidence that holds good when all else seems to fail. For the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom which cannot be shaken in the way that earthly kingdoms and even empires are. If you think back over history, examples include the Assyrian Empire. Then there was Babylon, Persia, Greece, Roman, the British Empire even. The kingdom of Jesus Christ will outlast them all. And if we are citizens of that kingdom, we can have total confidence, even when the physical world around us is falling apart. I remember a particularly difficult time in my life when a friend read these verses to me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Now, we haven't time to cover the whole psalm this morning, but I would suggest you read it in your own time, because later on are those wonderful words. It just says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, returning in that warning in Philippians, for many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. Now, that last phrase prompts a challenge. Are there earthly things in which we are putting our confidence? rather than in our citizenship of the heavenly kingdom. Now, when that challenge is given, various dangers come to mind, as Suzanne covered last week. They usually fall under the category of materialism. And materialism is a very real threat. And then there's another threat, which is actually the one that's on my mind this morning, when it comes to misplacing our confidence. Now, let's think back to the beginning. Paul is on this journey of faith. He hasn't arrived yet, but he has had to stop relying on those things in which he had previously placed his confidence. But when we think about what those things were, it wasn't materialism. No, it was actually his religious observance. And let's remember, of course, that this was a God-fearing religion. He was worshipping God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, his confidence was misplaced, as he himself makes clear. Now, I said at the beginning that most, if not all of us, had a very different start to the journey from Paul. But thinking about this message during the week, I could see, you know, a certain, admittedly very distant parallel with my own journey. Now, time doesn't permit me to share all of my testimony this morning, but I will say that I grew up as a very religious person. Sunday school from a very early age, Christian parents and grandparents. So because of that, I'd always believed in God. I always believed that Jesus existed and was divine, but I never really understood why he died or how it should be applied to me personally. So as a result, I grew up assuming that I would eventually go to heaven because I'd lived a good life and done the religious stuff like saying my prayers, attending worship on Sunday, etc. And also, of course, from refraining from doing certain other things. You see, the vital role of Jesus in all of this, it was somehow lost on me. And when I did come to understand it, I was actually a student in Leicester at the age of 19, you know, it was a truly light bulb moment. It really did hit me. So much suddenly made sense. You see, like Paul, up until that point, I'd been putting my confidence in the wrong place. Now, don't get me wrong, living a good life is important because when we put our confidence in Jesus and in his saving grace, of course, we want to live as he would have us live. But our good lives are not where our confidence needs to be. And if I could have the next slide, please. So, I would ask you this morning, where is your confidence? Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, maybe for many years, you can put your confidence in your heavenly citizenship, which will withstand all the storms of life. There's plenty of those around at the moment, both in our personal circumstances and in the world at large, as the news tells us all too often. But maybe you have not yet placed your confidence in Jesus. Maybe you're at the point that I was at, living a good life, a religious life, and I must stress, living it most sincerely, but yet intending one day to face God on the strength of your good life instead of on the work of Jesus. On the other hand, you know, you may be totally new to church as a visitor, or maybe you've stumbled across this service on YouTube. seemingly by accident. Now, whichever it is, I suspect it was no accident. Remember, it doesn't matter how religious or non-religious you have been, or how good or bad you think you have been. Jesus will accept all those who come to him. His word does say, whosoever. So perhaps this morning, to answer that question, perhaps this is the morning to answer it. Where is my total confidence? So I'll leave that thought with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that. If anybody does want to hear more about having Jesus as your friend, Lord and Saviour, then do talk to one of us before you go or pray with you. Lord, we just want to say we love you. Lord, we want you to be our friend. And if it's the first time we're asking you to be our friend, or if we've asked you for many years, we want to renew that. Mm. We want to know you more. Yes. We thank you for all you've done, dying so that we can have a relationship with you, dying that our sins are forgiven. And we come to you as we are. We can come no other way. Just take us. Teach us more about you. Show us more and more of your love. We want to love you back. We want to know you, Lord. And we thank you for all you have done so far in our lives and all that you will do in our lives. Be with us, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just say the grace together.
The grace of the Lord
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.